Greetings. Welcome to part two in a three-part series on reducing stress and improving resilience in uncertain times. In part one of this series, I talked about the importance of self-assessment and the I'm safe checklist. I also mentioned that the S, stress level, and the E, emotional state, can be a challenge when it comes to accurate self-assessment. On the issue of stress, it's very important to understand that stress itself isn't necessarily bad. A stress response is a normal and healthy thing. It's an autonomic preparation for action of our mind-body system. What's most important in working with stress is our relationship to it. Psychologist and author Kelly McGonigal has a wonderful quote. "When you choose to view your stress response as helpful, you create the biology of courage." She has a TED Talk titled, "How to Make Stress Your Friend," and it's one of the most important perspectives on this subject I've ever heard. I have a link to her talk under the resources section of my website. Another important thing she points out in this talk, and there's a lot of science to support this, is the need for social connection in times of stress. She states, "When you choose to connect with others under stress, you can create resilience." This is why airlines have critical incident response programs and peer support groups. It's unfortunate that during this pandemic, we're using the term social distancing. What we're really doing is physical distancing, and the need for social connection is greater now than it's ever been. Want to reduce stress? Make a meaningful connection with someone. Talk about how this situation is impacting you. When I talk about meaningful, I'm not talking about texting or short social sound bites. Movement is another important way to reduce stress. Yoga, exercise, jumping jacks, something to get your body moving. The science supporting the need for connection and movement is very clear. Emotions are a whole other topic for pilots. Years ago, I received training from Tanya Glenn and Associates as a critical incident response program volunteer for my union. Her presentation and program was amazing. But when it comes to pilots and the topic of the E and F words, emotions and feelings, her recommendation was, don't bring it up. It isn't that pilots don't have the E and F words, it's that they don't want to talk about them. And that might not be the best approach when it comes to prolonged stress and uncertainty. If preparation for action is our mind-body response to stress, negative emotions should be considered our caution and warning system. Would you fly a jet without a caution and warning system? Compartmentalization of emotions may be a good short-term solution in an emergency, but as a long-term strategy, it works about as well as turning up your car stereo so you don't have to listen to that clunking noise coming from the engine. Mindfulness and meditation practice can provide good long-term strategies for dealing with stress and emotions. More on that in part three. Today's focus is on short-term solution. Quick disclaimer here, I'm not a mental health professional, but I do work closely with one who's also a pilot. If you suspect you may be suffering with PTSD or an actual anxiety or depressive disorder, talk to a mental health care professional. Feeling anxious or sad from time to time is a normal part of being human, but these states of mind should be temporary. I mentioned that self-assessment can be difficult if we're stuck outside of our window of tolerance. Because of this, a tool was developed called the Perceived Stress Scale. This is a series of questions that are given to arrive at a score. On the homepage of the Mindful Aviator website, there's a button labeled Free Stress Assessment. There, you can find more information about this and other resources. Another way to determine our current state of arousal is to literally come to our senses. Human beings have what's called our autonomic nervous system. This is the involuntary part of the nervous system that helps regulate internal organs, blood vessels, intestines, heart rate, and so forth. The autonomic nervous system has two main divisions, sympathetic and parasympathetic. The sympathetic nervous system directs the body's rapid involuntary response to threats. A flash flood of hormones boosts the body's alertness and heart rate, sending extra blood to the muscles and a cascade of other reactions, often called the fight, flight, or freeze response. The parasympathetic system conserves energy as it slows down the heart rate, increases intestinal activity, and relaxes muscles and so forth. The parasympathetic nervous system is often called the rest and digest system. If I'm walking down a path and I see something long and thin that's coiled up by my feet, my mind registers a potential threat. Snake. The body's caution and warning system has activated, like in a jet. Sympathetic nervous system response kicks in. My mind sends the signal. Heart rate increases, pupils dilate, and so forth. Stress response. Physically, my body prepares for action. It takes a rapid in-breath, fists clench, shoulders up, muscles tight with tension. In this case, the warning is top-down. We see a potential threat and the brain sends a signal through what's called the vagus nerve to the rest of the body to get ready. And then we realize it's only a piece of rope. Parasympathetic response kicks in, the rest and digest mode. We exhale long, shoulders drop, muscles relax, heart rate slows, and so forth. Our caution and warning signal stops. Again, this relaxed signal is sent by the brain through the vagus nerve to the rest of the body. In times of uncertainty or persistent stress, our caution and warning system can become stuck in the on position, leaving us outside our window of tolerance. Our storytelling mind is sending signals, and our body is carrying tension. But the communication isn't just top-down. Tension in our body activates the caution and warning in our mind, generating stories and a search for certainty. This can get into a feedback loop with both mind and body amplifying the signal. If I'm at home during this pandemic, safely distanced from others and in no way being threatened physically, should I be stressing out? The uncertainty is real, but the activation of my caution and warning system is based on a story I'm telling myself about the future that may or may not be true. Mark Twain is quoted as saying, "I'm an old man and my life has been filled with tragedies, most of which never happened." We need to be concerned about the future and plan so we can take appropriate action when the time comes. But does worrying actually help us? Or can we ease up on the stress-producing momentum of mind and use discernment instead? In the earlier example I gave of sympathetic and parasympathetic nervous system activation, it was a top-down brain telling the body what to do. But science has demonstrated that the vagus nerve isn't a one-way street. If we intentionally put our body into a parasympathetic state, it communicates to the brain that everything must be okay, and the tension in the brain, the looping negative thoughts, tend to quiet down. And for some, this can be enough to interrupt the feedback loop so we can relax both mind and body. One way of doing this is by imitating the physical aspects of the parasympathetic response and by paying attention to what it feels like in our body. The first aspect of this exercise is what I call the 4-pause-8 breath, and I do this anytime I feel my stress level trending out of my window of tolerance. It consists of a deep in-breath to a count of 4, a pause at the top of the in-breath to a count of 4, and a long, slow exhale to a count of 8. The tempo of counting isn't as important as the duration of the out-breath, which is twice as long as the in-breath. A good way to regulate our out-breath so it's longer is to purse your lips and create some back pressure. So the breath part of the exercise would be deep in, 2, 3, 4, hold, 2, 3, 4, and purse your lips with a slow exhale, 5, 6, 7, 8. The second part of the exercise is what I call the coming to our senses part. As we exhale long and slow, there's a cascade of sensations happening in the body. We want to bring our attention or our awareness to these sensations as they happen in the present moment. Think about it in terms of assessment. If I want to assess the actual condition of my aircraft, I don't do it by remembering what my instruments read yesterday or predicting what they might read tomorrow. By bringing our awareness to the instruments of our body, the senses, we're getting out of the stressful stories, concepts, and ideas long enough to get a present moment reading. And in terms of our I'm safe checklist, we can now self-assess more accurately what our actual stress level and emotional state is. So, one more quick review before we give this a try, and I'll use a metronome for this. Long in-breath to a count of four. Pause at the top to a count of four. Purse your lips. Long, slow exhale to a count of eight. Awareness of the sensation in the body. At the end, pause for a bit, allowing the awareness to linger in the body with the sensations. Now, you go ahead and do one on your own. I'll start the timer. At the end of the out-breath, pause again and allow your awareness to linger with the bodily sensations. And then just go ahead and allow your breath to return to normal. When you're ready, or when it feels right, do one more on your own without the timer, at your own pace. This is a breath-based parasympathetic reset, one way to bring us back into our window of tolerance, to a place of more resilience and less stress. If you tried this and nothing changed or your level of anxiety actually increased, use that as a self-assessment indication. If how you are is not okay and you can't get unstuck, talk to someone about it. As I said, social connection is a huge component of stress reduction. If you don't have a peer support group or someone you feel comfortable talking to, use the free resources on my website under the Stress Assessment button. Don't underestimate the value of movement. Yoga can be particularly useful, or for some, even vigorous exercise. As you go about your life, amid all this uncertainty, all the drama, all the reactivity in the news, the addictive social media and other distractions that fuel our busy thoughts, remember to pause periodically and check in. Self-assess by checking your instruments, coming to your senses. How am I right now? Pause before answering your phone and breathe. How am I? Learn to notice and relax the tension in your body. Allow your body to send a message to your mind that in spite of all the uncertainty, right now, I'm actually okay. Thanks for listening. I hope you're finding this useful.